All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're going to do a deep dive into minimum viable products, MVPs. And joining us is, he's a startup expert.
I try.
You've been there, you've done that. And we're going to be looking at, it's called Minimum Viable Product, The Ultimate Guide to Driving Startup Success. So you ready to kind of see how companies like Airbnb and Dropbox, you know, how they got started?
Yeah, I think the big thing to remember is that an MVP, it's not just like a prototype, you know. It's about I guess you could say strategically testing your core value proposition with real users before you like really commit to a full-blown product.
Okay, I get that. But sometimes like a faster time to market, wouldn't that mean that you maybe sacrifice some quality, you know? Like, isn't there a risk that your product feels unfinished?
Yeah. And that's kind of where the minimum and MVP comes in. It's not about like releasing something that's shoddy. It's about identifying those core features that solve a specific problem. Like think about Airbnb. They didn't start with this whole platform of like every type of accommodation, you know. They focused on renting out spare rooms, and that proved their concept before they, you know, went crazy.
So like proving the core concept and gathering user feedback to kind of like, I don't know, guide further development. That's really interesting. And I can see how that approach would save a ton of time and money.
Totally. And you know, our source, it lists out four key reasons why these MVPs are so important, especially for startups, you know. Early validation. You're testing those assumptions about user needs, market demand, and making sure you're not building something that nobody wants, and you're doing it quickly. Getting your product out there, you know, first can give you a huge advantage in the market.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, by getting that early feedback, you can really identify what resonates with users and make smart decisions about where to invest your resources, right?
Absolutely. You know, reduce development costs by focusing on just those essential features, and it gives you that flexibility to adapt. I always say it's a lot easier to steer a small boat than it is to turn a giant cruise ship.
Yeah. That's the great analogy. So how does an MVP actually differ from building like the whole product? Where do you draw the line between minimum and half-baked?
You draw the line by focusing on validating the market fit. But with a very basic version first, you know. It's kind of like a taste test, if you will. You gather user insights before investing in all the bells and whistles, and then you can scale strategically based on that data. I mean, remember Dropbox, they used a simple explainer video to validate their idea before building the actual product.
Oh, Dropbox. Wow, that's amazing. It shows the power of storytelling and early stage validation. Like, it's amazing what a clear narrative can achieve. Okay, I'm sold on the why of MVPs, but how do you actually build one, like,
Well,
effectively?
there's five steps, and it starts with market research, thorough market research. You need to understand your audience, you know, their needs, their frustrations. It's almost like knowing your best friend. Like you understand their quirks and their preferences and what makes them tick.
So it's not just about building something cool, it's about building something that, you know, solves a real problem for people. And how do you make sure that you're focusing on the right I don't know, features?
Well, that's where step two comes in. Prioritizing core features. You list out all the potential functionalities and you rank them based on impact, feasibility, user necessity. Imagine you're building you know, a productivity app, right? Well, your MVP could focus on the task management feature. You know, get that feedback and then add other features.
Got it. So building a strong foundation, even if it's simple at first. So once you have those core features, what's next?
We got to develop the MVP, right? Step three. You know, it's crucial to maintain product quality, even in a bare bones release. Think of it as setting the stage right. You want to make sure it's user friendly.
Okay, so even though it's a stripped down version, it still needs to be a good user experience. What happens once you have like something you're ready to, you know, share?
That's when the real learning begins. You launch and collect feedback. Step four, you roll it out to a small group like beta testers or early adopters, and you encourage them to be honest, you know, brutally honest. That feedback is gold.
So you're getting those early reviews, seeing what works and what doesn't.
Yeah. And don't underestimate those analytics tools, you know. You can uncover usability issues and identify trends you might not have anticipated.
That makes sense. So you launch, you get feedback. Is it time to build the full product?
Not quite yet. You got to analyze and iterate. Step five, you use all that data, you know, to refine maybe even pivot your direction, and then, you know, you implement improvements and you just keep repeating the process until you have a validated, scalable product.
So it's about embracing that feedback loop and not being afraid to adapt along the way. I mean, it's more than just product development. It's a mindset, right? But how do real companies put this into practice?
Well, we have some success stories. Our source highlights Airbnb, Dropbox, Twitter. You'll be surprised.
Okay. All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so Airbnb, they started with a single listing for the founder's apartment. Basically just a way to make some extra cash. But imagine pitching that to investors today, just renting out your spare room. But they validated that core concept of sharing accommodations before they became the giant they are today.
Wow. That's incredible. They really tapped into like an existing but, you know, underutilized resource. What about Dropbox?
Well, Dropbox, they initially released a simple explainer video, showcased their features, and that allowed them to gauge user interest and raise investor confidence without like heavy development, you know, up front.
So simple, just a video. And do they have like a big marketing budget?
Nope, not at all. It was the clarity of their message, and they addressed a real need. And that's what got people.
Got it. Okay. I'm seeing a pattern here. Start small, validate, iterate.
Yep.
What about Twitter? How'd they start?
Believe it or not, Twitter started as an internal messaging platform. They actually called it ToyDOTGR back then.
Wait, so Twitter started as an internal tool? That's crazy. I never would have guessed that.
It shows that even the biggest ideas can start small. And they embraced the feedback and they adapted and they created the platform that we know today.
That is so inspiring.
Yeah. And they went from a simple tool to this global phenomenon. And it's all because of that feedback and iteration.
Wow. These examples are incredible. They really show how powerful the MVP approach is. So am I getting this right? Building an MVP is about making smart choices, minimizing risks, and really putting your users at the heart of everything.
You got it. It's not about cutting corners. It's about being strategic.
Man, this has been so insightful. But I got to ask, what about measuring success? How do we know if our MVP is actually working?
Good question. Our source, it suggests that we focus on those engagement metrics. Downloads, daily active users, even purchase conversions. These are indicators that your MVP is really hitting the mark.
So you're looking for signals that people are actually using and finding value in the product.
Exactly. And remember that feedback. It's golden. Pay attention to what they're saying, good and bad. It's like a gold mine.
Yeah. It's like you have a direct line to your audience. They're telling you what they love, what they hate, what they want more of.
Exactly. And that loop, that's essential for improvement.
This is making me think, when do we know it's time to like scale beyond the MVP? When do we like take the leap and start building like a more robust, full-featured product?
Our source emphasizes data. You know, when you have consistent data showing that fit, the product market fit, and you see a demand for features, that's when it's time.
So you're not just guessing. You're making data-driven decisions.
Yep, balancing that early validation with strategic growth.
This whole MVP approach it's making me rethink how I approach new ideas. It's like a new way of thinking about, you know, product development.
It's a game changer. It empowers startups and entrepreneurs to navigate those waters, you know, when they're launching a product.
It's about minimizing that risk, maximizing learning, and ultimately creating something that people, you know, really want.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
You know, it's really inspiring seeing how companies like Airbnb, Dropbox, and Twitter started so small and became these global powerhouses.
It's a testament to the power of this approach. Yeah, it's a reminder that you don't need a massive budget or a huge team to bring a great idea to life.
Yeah, it's about starting small, validating your concept, and iterating based on feedback. Almost like a scientific experiment, right?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. The MVP approach, you gather data and you make informed decisions. You're not relying on guesswork.
Right. And most importantly, you have the courage to put your idea out there, even if it's not perfect.
Right.
I mean, some might argue that releasing an MVP is just a fancy way of saying you're putting out a half-baked product.
Right. I understand the concern, but the key difference is intentionality. An MVP is designed to test hypotheses and get user feedback. It's not about cutting corners. It's about maximizing learning with minimal resources.
So you're being deliberate in what you include and what you leave out in that first version.
Exactly. Focusing on the core value, getting those insights to inform future development.
That makes sense. But let's say you've launched your MVP, you're getting feedback, and you're ready to start scaling. How do you know when to transition from that lean MVP mindset to building a more robust, full-featured product?
Our guide emphasizes data-driven decisions. So once you have consistent data demonstrating product market fit and user demand for additional features, that's a clear sign to start scaling.
So you're not just going with your gut feeling. You're looking for evidence that your product is meeting a real need.
Exactly. You're finding that sweet spot between validating your idea and capitalizing on the momentum you've built.
This whole conversation has been so eye-opening. It's like I've unlocked a new level of understanding when it comes to product development.
I'm glad to hear that. The MVP approach is really a powerful tool for any entrepreneur or innovator looking to bring their ideas to life.
Okay, so we've covered the why, the how, and the when of MVPs. But are there any common pitfalls or challenges that people should be aware of when they're building an MVP?
That's a great question. One common trap is falling into feature creep, where you keep adding more and more features to your MVP, and you lose sight of that core value proposition.
Ah, so it's about staying disciplined, resisting the temptation to add everything but the kitchen sink.
Exactly. Remember, the goal is to test and learn quickly, not to create a behemoth.
Okay. Are there any other pitfalls?
Yeah. Another common mistake is neglecting user feedback. It's easy to get attached to your own ideas, but you got to listen to what your users are saying, even if it's critical.
Right, because ultimately they're the ones who will determine whether your product succeeds or fails.
Absolutely. Their feedback is invaluable. And finally, I'd say it's important to avoid getting caught up in the perfection trap. An MVP is meant to be iterative. It's okay if it's not flawless on day one.
That's a good point. It's easy to get bogged down trying to make everything perfect. But that can actually hinder progress. It's better to get something out there and start getting that feedback.
The MVP approach is all about embracing that process and continuously learning and improving.
This has been such an insightful deep dive into the world of MVPs. It's amazing how such a simple concept can have such a huge impact.
Yeah, it is remarkable. And it's inspiring to see how real companies have used this approach to do some pretty incredible things.
It's a reminder that innovation often starts with a small step, a simple idea that's tested, refined, and iterated on.
Validating assumptions, embracing feedback, and continuously adapting.
So if you're out there with a brilliant idea brewing, don't be afraid to start small. Embrace the MVP mindset and see where it takes you.
Remember what we talked about today. Validate your ideas early. Focus on those core features. Get that feedback and iterate. And never stop learning.
That's it for our deep dive into minimum viable products. We hope you've gained some insights and inspiration.
Until next time, keep diving deep into the world of knowledge.
See you on the next deep dive. You know, it's really fascinating, this whole MVP concept.
What's that?
It's how it kind of goes with this idea of like failing fast. You know, you're encouraged to just put something out there. And it might not be perfect, and you get feedback and learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. The MVP approach, it really embraces that idea that failure isn't the opposite of success, but like a stepping stone to it.
Yeah, it's like that saying, fail fast, fail often. You put your product out there early, you get the feedback, and then you speed up that learning curve.
Right. It's all about that back and forth testing, learning, refining.
So instead of spending, you know, months or years building something on your own, you get it into the hands of, you know, real users really quickly.
Exactly. It's all about minimizing that risk.
Yeah.
You know, you validate those assumptions and you learn from how people actually use it.
It's almost like a shortcut to success, right? Because you're not afraid of those early, failures.
And those failures, they can be even more valuable than those early successes. They can really shape your product going forward.
I love that. It's a reminder that we shouldn't be afraid to experiment, you know, to take some risks and to really learn from all those experiences.
Because ultimately, that's how you create something really impactful.
Yeah, well said. So to kind of wrap up our deep dive here into the world of MVPs, I think the main thing is this.
Okay, I'm listening.
Embrace the MVP mindset. You start small, you test your ideas, get that feedback, and just keep refining. You might surprise yourself with what you come up with.
And remember, even the biggest companies, they all started somewhere. Mm-hmm. They had that minimum viable product.
So go out there, build something amazing. And that's it for this episode of The Deep Dive. We hope you've enjoyed our, you know, exploration of minimum viable products and how they can, you know, really drive your success.
Until next time, keep diving deep into the world of knowledge.
See you on the next deep dive.